Argentina, Mexico, and we also helped start a work in Chile, so we say Latin America. We served on the mission field for 26 years, and during that time, we saw hundreds of people come to know Christ as their Savior, and many follow Him in baptism. We also had the privilege of starting churches and helping other missionaries start churches, and we give all the honor and glory to God for what He has done. And for 6 years, we have pastored in Heber Springs, Arkansas, and we are no longer pastoring there. We are headed back to the mission field. But during that time there at the church in Arkansas, we took over that work because the former pastor had passed away suddenly, and we knew him. He was the pastor that married us. He was my wife's youth pastor and pastor for many years, and God just worked in that. We never planned on leaving the mission field, coming back to America, but God was in that, and we got there to the church, and Lord allowed us during that time just to help the church and to see souls saved and baptized and added to the church. And during those 6 years, we were also able to add 27 new missionary families to the list of missionaries supported by our church. And we left the church financially strong and spiritually healthy. And the church now has a pastor. And so we're excited about what God's doing there as well. But that time also allowed us to help our kids adjust to life in America after being born on the mission field. All of our kids were born on the mission field and they were raised on the mission field. So for them to come to America and get adjusted to life here, they're all bicultural, bilingual. And you look at them, you think, well, they're American, but the American culture was basically their second culture, not their first culture. And so we were able to help them during that time. Our oldest two, they're married. We have four grandchildren. Amen. Four grandchildren. Our youngest graduated from Bible college last May. And also during that period of time, God gave me the opportunity to care for my father in his final years and to serve as power of attorney over his estate. I was able to witness to him several more times. And these are things that would not have happened if we were still on the field. As I said, we didn't plan on coming back to the United States, but God was working in that, and we can clearly see his hand in our lives. But now we're excited about the opportunity to return to the mission field, and we're excited to see what God's doing. We've been on full-time deputation since the second week of June. Now, we did deputation over 33 years ago. And if you know anything about deputation, I make the joke, we liked it so much the first time that we wanted to do it again. So we're doing it 33 years later. And church, we already know the language and culture. Now, I'm not 25, I'm not 35, I'm not 45, I'm not 55, and I'm going to leave it at that. But some of you in here know what I'm getting ready to say. Do you remember years ago when you would buy something at the store and you'd take it home and you'd plug it in and it would work? It didn't say, okay, you need to create an account and a pass. Are you with me tonight?
Yeah.
I mean, you just took the thing and you plugged it in. Hey, it's working. That's how it is for us. We know the language. We know the culture. All of that is already in the past. So for us, it's basically just unplugging from America, getting back to the mission field, and plugging right back in. If we were to go back to the mission field right now, this evening, Saturday, we'd be out knocking doors. Sunday, we'd be preaching. It's not a question of learning the language and the culture. We're all ready to go. So right now, we've got a video. It's 4 minutes. Hard to put 26 years in 4 minutes, but it'll give you an idea of what the Lord has done. And after this, I have a few more things that I'll say to finish up this part. All right. Once our support is complete, we're going to return to the heart of Mexico, basing out of there where we last served, and we'll continue working with our national church planters. And again, these are men that were led to Christ in our ministry, baptized and trained for ministry. And right now, we're in the process of starting a work out in the mountains of Hidalgo. That's the state that we're in there in Mexico. It's a very slow process out there. These are small little communities. And right now, remember years ago, there used to be the circuit riding preachers. years. Basically, that's what they're doing as they go out in the mountains, and we're trying to get a central place there to start a new work. But also beyond Mexico, God has opened doors for us in other Spanish-speaking countries, and we'll be able to come alongside new missionaries once they get to the field, become proficient in the language, just to help them as they start churches. And we're just excited about what God is doing. So our desire is simple. It's to follow the Lord, to see more souls saved, new churches started, and nationals trained to reach their own people for Christ. Many years ago, when I was 15 years old and 9 months, I bought my first car. We parked it under the carport. Our driveway was probably about 20 yards long. And this was back in the days where you had keys to your car. Keys. You had the round key and the rectangular key. Yeah. And so I would go home, get home from school, and I would go into my bedroom, and I would get the keys, and I'd start my car up, and I would drive it to the end of the driveway, and then I'd back it on up into the carport, and I would do that several times. And I already knew how to drive. I'd already taken a course, my driving course, passed the driving course, and I even drove sometimes when I shouldn't have. But I was waiting for my license that day to get a license. I turned 16, and my dad took me and my twin brother to go get our license. We got our license that day, came home, got my keys, started up my car, and drove to high school, and I was so excited about that. Folks, that's the way it is for us right now. Again, we're going to meeting after meeting, missions conference after missions conference, phone call after phone call, but we're just going to the end of the driveway, and we're looking forward to that time where we have the freedom, the liberty, where God has given us the green light just to get back to doing what He has called us to do. So we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, Pastor, and Cornerstone Baptist Church. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Thank you for the hotel room, for the basket. And it's nice to not have kids with you now, because you don't have to fight over the things in the basket. Amen? Did you say amen? And thank you so much for the opportunity to present the work here tonight.
Amen.
Preach.
Go ahead,
brother. All right. Take your Bibles this evening. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I appreciate your pastor. He's given me some liberty tonight, but we are going to preach a missions message out of Matthew chapter 6. Now, we're going to look at something here. It's something very basic that's mentioned here, and then I'm going to make a missions application. This is not normally the way that I preach. I like to go verse by verse, but the subject tonight on being missions, and we do have our prayer cards back there on our display table. If you'd like to get one of those, pick it up and do pray for us. In Matthew chapter 6, are you excited about being in God's house tonight? Matthew chapter 6, and if you're able tonight, would you stand in reverence to the Word of God? Matthew chapter 6, now I imagine that most of you are familiar with this passage, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount. Here in Matthew chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse 5 if you'll follow along with me tonight. Matthew 6, 5, the Bible said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest..." You getting the idea that God wants us to pray? "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word. I pray that You'd fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I prayed, and I'm seeking Your face. I want Your direction. And Father, I pray that what is said tonight would be used for Your honor, for Your glory, for the furtherance of the gospel. Father, that You would work in our midst as only You can. Father, challenge us once again concerning the Great Commission and reaching the lost, both here in McAllister, Oklahoma, throughout our country, Father, and throughout the world. We want You to be honored and glorified in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I go back to verse 8, and this is where we are, what we're going to look at tonight and make the application from verse 8. He says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them." Now, he's given instruction here about praying, when thou prayest, when ye pray, and he says some specific things about it, but he mentions something to us that to me I find is an encouragement. It says here in verse 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Church, I'll put forth tonight to you that God knows what we need before we even mention it to him in prayer. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
There have been times when you're heavy and you're burdened about something and you go to the Lord in prayer, but the words just don't come out. But listen tonight, God knows what you need. He knows what I need, and He knows it before we even ask it. And it is encouragement to me tonight to know that whatever I ask God in prayer, He already knows what I am needing. Now, I want to make this application. God knew what Bill Norton needed in order to be saved. To be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God knew what you needed in order to be saved, to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what you needed and what I needed are the same things that the lost today need. It's a very simple thought coming from this, the fact that God knows what we needed. And God knows what the lost need today. Let me mention a few things that the lost need tonight. First of all, the lost need to have a copy of the Word of God. Now, I'll tell you tonight, I love the Bible. I am so thankful for the Word of God. The lost need to have a copy of the Word of God. If you would think with me tonight of all that God did to make sure that you and I would have a copy of His Word.
Right.
It is and no accident that you and I tonight have a copy of the Word of God that is faithful, that is trustworthy. You and I, we need the Word of God. We needed the Word of God in order to be saved. We needed to hear the Word of God. But listen, the lost around the world, they need to have a copy of the Word of God. There's a story in the book of Jeremiah where there was a king, and there was a scripture that was brought to the king, and with a penknife, he cut the page out and he would throw it into the fire, and he was burning scripture. And guess what, church? Scripture did not disappear.
That's right.
God made sure that we had that. And not only do we have the scripture that was burned in the fire, but we also have the account of what happened. God worked so that we would have His Word.
Yes.
In the same book, in the book of Jeremiah, there was a king that had called the prophet Jeremiah. And he says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, listen, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah responded with two words. He said, "There is." There is a word from the Lord, and we have it in the Word of God. You needed a copy of the Word of God, and the lost today, they need to have a copy of the Word of God. One of the things that we like to do, especially on the mission field, when we're knocking on doors and talking to folks, we'll ask them, do you have a Bible in your home? Because it is important for folks to have a Bible. And in many places, they'll have a family Bible. But folks, having a family Bible is good, but having your own personal copy of the Word of God is much better. I brought a few things with me tonight. I'm going to sneak by a pastor here. And I brought a few things with me tonight. There's certain things that I do. I love the Bible. This Bible right here, I've had it for several years now. And when I go through the Bible, I like to mark my Bible. I've got several, but this is just one I brought with me. I've got colored pencils. And I graduated years ago, but I got colored pencils. And some of you know what this is, the four-color pen.
Yeah.
Oh, what an invention. remember years ago, guys walking around with the four-color pen in there? But I have all these colors, and then I have these special markers with archival ink where it doesn't bleed through, and so I can underline things. When I go through the Bible, when I come across a verse that has to do with the blood of Jesus Christ, I grab my... Nah. What color do I grab?
Red.
So when you look through my Bible and you'll see red in there, usually when you see red, it's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that Jesus shed for us. Yeah. And then also I use yellow when it has to do with the Word of God. When it says, thus saith the Lord, or as it is written, things like that, I highlight that in yellow. I like to mark the Word of God. This is my own copy, my personal copy of the Word of God. Now some of you guys are going to think tonight that I am OCD. I am not OCD. I like straight lines. So I've got this. I mean, it'll right in here. And guess what? That's not the only. I've got one. Right, I've got a hit right here. But I've got it. So I want to mark those straight lines, because sometimes I underline the verse, and sometimes, okay, I color the verse, but I want to mark the Word of God here, because this is God's Word. God speaks to us through His Word, and I'm so thankful that I have a copy of the Word of God. Years ago, matter of fact, this was just a few years ago, my oldest sister that lives in South Carolina, my great-great-grandmother was a God-fearing woman, and I was privileged to get one of her Bibles. This is very special to me. And so I have a, it's King James too, praise the Lord. But I've got one of her Bibles. But church, this is not the only Bible that I have. I have a small, complete Bible, because when I go soul winning, usually I take a whole Bible. I'm just saying, but it'll fit in my back pocket. The letters are real small, but I can read it. Amen. But I have that, and then I have another one. And this one, the letters are a little bit bigger than my other one, but this won't fit in my back pocket. But this is another whole Bible, and I like that. And then you get one that's just a little bit bigger. When I got back to the States, this is the Bible that I was using. I love these Bibles. Look at the print in there. And I've got margin on both sides, and again, I color them. This is the Bible that I was using, and I enjoy that Bible. But then I got another one. You notice it's a little bit bigger than that one. And this one right here, preacher, the letters, the writing, it's not very big, but look at the margin on that. So I can write in the notes, and I would write things in the notes, and now I've got this Bible right here, and I'm, praise the Lord, God is good, and then I have another one. Amen. Now I like this one, but it's just kind of a little awkward when you're walking around, hey, whoa, got to use two hands. But look at that. Wonderful. But look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 Bibles right here, 6 Bibles, and I have many more. And I would venture to say tonight that most of you here have at least 2 Bibles, if not more. But there are folks around the world that do not have one Bible. And the lost need to have a copy of the Word of God. I thank God tonight for the Bible publishing ministries. The Bible says in Psalm 68:11, great was the company of those that published it. Thank the Lord for the different Bible publishing ministries that there are throughout our country. Bearing Precious Seed is one of them, and we've received Bibles from them through the years. Beams is another one. I remember being in Columbia, we would get Bibles from Beams. And what Beams does, that if you were to give money to Beams to buy Bibles, they put an envelope there in the front of the Bible that's already addressed to you. And so the person that gets a Bible, what they do is they write a letter and they send it back to you, so you know who the person was that got a Bible that you paid for. And I have translated some of those letters and sent them back to the folks that paid for those Bibles. So there's Bearing Precious Seed, there's Beams, and there's Victory Baptist Press, and many others. And I thank God tonight for those that print, the ministries that print the Word of God. Church, we need to send Bibles to the lost.
Amen.
Now, pastoring here in the United States for the last several years, in the mail I would get literature about a Bible project where they were raising money in order to send Bibles to somewhere in Africa or the Philippines or whatever country. And I'm so appreciative of the folks that get together to send Bibles around the world. BIMI years ago got a phone call from the leaders, the political leaders in Fiji. And Fiji asked if they would send Bibles to all their school students.
Wow.
And it was, of course, yeah, we'll do that. And then they told them how many they needed. They said, give us a year. When it was all said and done, it was over 230,000 Bibles that they sent to Fiji.
Wow.
Well, as normally is the case, Papua New Guinea heard about what happened in Fiji. Papua New Guinea called. Say, hey, we heard about what you did in Fiji. We want to give Bibles to all of our kids in school. They said, okay. When it was all said and done, they gave over 1 million Bibles, sent over 1 million Bibles to Papua New Guinea. Church, the lost need to have a copy of the Word of God. You see, the Bible is like a GPS. It tells us about God. And it also reveals us to ourselves. It shows us what God has done so that we can be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life, which is in His Son Jesus. The Bible tells us how we can go to heaven by telling us what Jesus did to pave the way. And not only did He pave the way, the Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus is the way.
Amen.
Yet many people today still do not have a copy of the Word of God. I, in my years in the ministry, I preach a lot about the Bible. Church, we need the Bible.
Yes.
And the fact that we're saved doesn't mean that we don't need it anymore. Right. We needed it to get saved, but we still need the Word of God today.
Yeah.
And not preaching messages about the Bible, I would use this illustration. If I was on an island, stranded on an island by myself, and I could only have two books, hands down, those two books would be the Bible and a good hymn book.
Good. Amen.
Hands down.
Yeah.
But then they said, Bill, you can only have one, the Bible.
Yeah.
Because there is no book like the Bible.
Right.
And unfortunately, there are still many people that do not have a copy of the Word of God, and the lost need a copy of the Word of God.
Yeah. Amen.
We believe that so profoundly. We were in Central Mexico, and we were getting ready to start our VBS. It was going to be in the afternoon, and we were out of Bibles. We knew we were going to get a lot of kids that were going to be there, and parents would come, and we liked to give out Bibles, and we didn't have any. We were waiting on a new shipment, and I got a text from a missionary that said he was going to be driving close by to where we were, about an hour and 45 minutes away. He said, I've got 10 cases of Bibles. Do you want them? Yes. Now, driving is, in some of the areas that we had to drive through to get there, pretty dangerous. But we knew that we needed to get Bibles. So I got my son Justin, we got in my Suburban, and we took off driving, and I'm driving down the road, and don't judge me for the way I drive on the mission field, amen? And so I'm driving, and I'm behind an 18-wheeler, and I'm trying to get around that 18-wheeler, and I'm standing back, and I'm looking like this, and I couldn't get by him, and I knew I was coming up to an area where there would be two lanes in each direction just for a short period of time, and so I was just biding my time, and I got there and that area, and I just could not get around that 18-wheeler. And so now we get back to where it's one lane in both directions. On this side, you got the mountain, and on this side, you have, woo! So I'm back behind and I'm lagging back so I can see. And I, as I'm back here looking, there was a car coming towards us in its lane. But as it's coming, the guy, I'm assuming he fell asleep or got distracted. He kind of went off the road just a bit. And when his tires got just off the road, he overcorrected. And when he did, he came right in front of that 18-wheeler and the 18-wheeler T-boned him. And at that moment, the only thing I mean, it was like Hollywood. Slow motion, surreal, the dust, debris hitting my windshield, and I'm just slowing down and I'm praying because I can't go, I don't know where the side is, but if I go too far, you've gone too far. So I'm just slowing down, slowing down, slowing down. Lord, please, 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 please. And we got on to the other side of that, and praise God, God protected us. We were able to get to meet up with the other missionary and to get those Bibles and to get back. And those next few days, we were able to pass out a lot of Bibles. Church, what I'm telling you tonight is that the lost need Bibles. They need to have a copy of the Word of God. I was preaching or in a missions conference, and matter of fact, this was out of the country, but in a missions conference, and I believe it was on Sunday, they had everybody dress up representing different fields, and there was a guy there, and I was looking at him, I was like, okay, he's wearing a hockey jersey. Now, I like hockey. But I'm looking at the jersey, and I just didn't recognize it, so I just said, hey, I said, I like your jersey, what country is it? And if I remember correctly, he said Slovenia. And just by asking him that question about the jersey, we got into a little conversation there. And I'm so thankful that I did. He started telling me about Slovenia, how very difficult for Christians in Slovenia, very difficult to get the Word of God in Slovenia. His mom had gone to a neighboring country and she was living there. Mom was saved. And the mom told him, when I pass away, and she did, what I want you to do is I want you to get the biggest casket that you can find. And I want you to load that casket with Bibles. Because when they bring me back to Slovenia to bury me, they will not open the casket. And so when she passed away, they loaded that that casket with Bibles. And so when they got the casket back, they had all these Bibles in there to give away because they understood the importance of getting the Bible to the lost. Church, we need to get the Bible to the lost. So the lost need to have a copy of the Word of God. Number two, they also need to hear the Word of God. They need to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The lost, not only they need to have a copy of the Word of God, but they need to hear the Word of God. How can people be exposed to the Word of God? Or to say it another way, how can people hear the Word of God? Now, I'm going somewhere with all this tonight. One way is by radio.
Yeah.
I am very thankful that there are Baptist radio ministries. They build and maintain radio stations that broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ far and wide. And in many cases, they do it 24 hours a day. Church, using the airwaves is a good tool in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, even in remote areas. One of the churches that we had a radio ministry for a period of time. And that radio ministry was able to reach people where we could not go. The lost need to hear the Word of God. One of the ways that they can hear the Word of God is by way of radio. So they need to have a Bible. They need to hear the Word of God. And since this is so, then we must preach the Word of God where the lost are.
Yep.
This means not only sending Bibles and tracts and John and Romans and building radio stations, but going to them as well. Do you remember the woman at the well? Jesus went to the well where he knew she would be. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Jesus sent his disciples out into the highways and hedges to where the people were so that they could come and hear the Word of God. Jesus gave the Great Commission. to go and to preach the gospel to every creature. This implies going to where the lost are so that they can hear the word of God. How many verses and passages speak of the importance of hearing the Word of God? When you read the Bible, you'll see it over and over again. They need that the lost and us, for that matter, we need to hear the Word of God. Yes. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever read something in the Bible or heard preaching and didn't understand it? There's times you'll read through there and you're, okay, wait a minute, I wasn't paying enough attention, and you go back and read it again. And think, no, well, maybe I was paying attention the first time, but, and you'll go back and read it again. Okay, you know what, I'm going to read a few more verses before and a few more verses after. And even after doing that, you're like, yeah. Happens to all of us.
Oh, yeah.
I would write questions down so that when I was able to visit with my pastor, I could ask him my questions. When I'd get back to the States or I'd get back in town and I'd say, Pastor, I've got some Bible questions. He'd say, hop in. I'd get in the vehicle and drive down the road and I'd pull out my paper and I'm starting to ask him questions, because all of us have questions when it comes to the Word of God. So if the lost need a copy of the Word of God, if they need to hear the Word of God, they also need something else. They need someone to explain to them the Word of God. They need to have someone tell them that there is a God, that there is a Savior, and that there is salvation for sinners. This is what I call boots on the ground. We could take Bibles and send Bibles to Mexico, to Colombia, to Argentina, and to other places. And we can send it to Africa. We can send it to the Philippines. And we can send gospel tracts. But sooner or later, you've got to get boots on the ground. You've got to get the missionary to the field. Now listen tonight, this is not a competition between Bible printing ministries and radio ministries. All of us work together. I thank God for them. All of us have our place or our role in carrying out the Great Commission. But sooner or later, you've got to have boots on the ground. The Word of God needs to be preached, taught, and explained. And this requires God's servants to go to where the lost are. Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 tonight. Just an example of what I said here a moment ago. Acts chapter 8. If you'll follow along with me here. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now, when you read the beginning of this chapter, it's pretty interesting what God has commanded him to do, because good things were happening. There were people that were hearing the Word of God, that were getting saved, and now he's being commanded to go to the desert.
Right.
But God has a purpose in all of that. So it says in verse 27, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Are you following along with me tonight? Here is a man that was privileged to have a portion of God's Word. He's got a portion of Isaiah. And as he's reading it, he's not understanding it. But God knows that that man needs to have boots on the ground. So he has Philip, where Philip is preaching and folks are getting saved. And he says, Philip, I need you to go to the desert. He doesn't give him all the details about that. But Philip just goes and does exactly what God says. He gets there, and then the Spirit of God says, hey, go to the guy that's there in the chariot. He hears what he's doing. He gets up there, and now he is going to be in a place to be boots on the ground to give the explanation of God's Word. And look at verse 35, church. This is good. The Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. It's what he needed to know. He's reading about the Messiah. He's reading about Jesus, but he needed help. He needed boots on the ground, and God made sure that he had what he needed. Today, God sends missionaries to faraway lands with the Word of God in their hands and hearts and in their mouths and on their lips to proclaim and explain the Word of God to the lost so that they might be saved. The lost need someone to explain to them the Word of God. They need to have boots on the ground. Let me take it a step further tonight. Church, where are we at tonight? Now, if you say McAllister, Oklahoma, you're right. We're in church.
Yeah.
Aren't you thankful for church?
Amen.
They need a copy of the Word of God. They need to hear the Word of God. They need boots on the ground. They need someone there, Mr. Missionary, Mrs. Missionary, there to explain them the Word of God, to preach the Word of God to them, to witness to them of Jesus, to tell them about Jesus. But church, they also need a church. A place where they can come or go and gather and hear the Word of God, where they can be encouraged by others. You're here tonight, and just your presence here tonight encourages other folks. I'm so thankful that I had a church to go to. And at church, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But not only that, as I began to go to church and I heard more and I learned more about the great God of the Bible, and I began to grow, then I had a place where I could serve the Lord. I had a church. I had a church where I could be boots on the ground. I had a church where I could work with the juniors. And then I got promoted or demoted to work with the teenagers. And then I got promoted to start a college and career class. And then later on, God called me to preach and I went to Bible college. But listen, I had a church to go to. And it was back in January. I was able to go back to the church. Through that church, I got saved. I came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And I'm thankful that there's still people in that church today that were there when I first arrived at that church. I thank God tonight for the church, but the lost need to have a church. So when you're given to missions, it's more than just putting money in an offering envelope. You are helping to get boots on the ground, to get Bibles and tracts and John and Romans and radio stations and having churches started on the mission field and to have people trained, nationals trained to continue on doing the work. You are having a part in the greatest, greatest work that's being done on this planet.
Amen.
A church.
Yeah.
The lost need to have not only a copy of the Word of God, not only did he hear the Word of God, but they need to have someone to explain it to them, or boots on the ground, and they need to have a church where they can hear the Word of God, where they can be boots on the ground, where they can enjoy Christian fellowship, encouragement, where iron sharpeneth iron. when I got saved and I was looking around there at church and I saw everybody else had a Bible and I said, well, I need a Bible. I went to a bookstore, not a Christian bookstore, went to a bookstore.
Right.
And I went into the religious section in the bookstore. It was the smallest section, amen?
Right.
Walked in and I was just picking up Bibles. I didn't know come here from Sikkim back then. And I was just, and I grabbed a Bible, praise the Lord, it was King James. I got a Bible because I knew that I needed a Bible, and then I faithfully attended church, and then God allowed me to be boots on the ground there. Back when we were in central Argentina, I get asked this question a lot about Spanish. The Argentine Spanish is very different from Mexican Spanish. Colombian Spanish is more similar to Mexican Spanish, but it's different. They're different. There are words that are good words in Colombia, but they're bad words in Mexico. There are bad words in Colombia, but they're good words in Mexico. It gets kind of confusing. So until you learn, you've got to be very careful. And there are times we were out knocking doors, and I had lived in Argentina for over 13 years, and now we're out knocking doors, and there was a lady in our church. She's out there, and she looks over there. Oh, look at the! And she said this word, and I'm like, oh. And she looked at me, and she said, "Pastor, what do you think that word means?" And I was like, "Hermana, it's probably better that you tell me what it means." So she told me what it means, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's all. It means something totally different here. It's okay, but over there, it's a bad word. In Argentina, there's a word that they use when you're with your friends, and you can say this word to your friends, and it's okay because you know the line you don't cross, but you're with friends, and you can say that word, but you say that to someone else, and you're throwing hands. So the Spanish is different. Oh, mercy. We were in central Argentina, and I had preached. I was preaching on the Sunday evening, and it was just a salvation message. And as I was coming to the end and I started to give the invitation, there was a young lady in the church service, and I said, okay, if you do not know Jesus Christ, your Savior, if you do not know that heaven would be your home when you died, and you want to hear how you can know that your sins are forgiven, that you have a home in heaven, would you raise your hand? And she raised her hand. So I saw her hand. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to get one of the ladies, my wife, someone to talk to her. And so I'm continuing with the invitation, and she starts doing this. And I continue with the invitations. She finds, I want to be saved! Right on the invitation. Church, that all was possible because of churches just like Cornerstone Baptist Church.
Yeah, right.
They realized, no, wait a minute. We had the opportunity to have a copy of the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, to have a pastor or someone explain the Word of God to us, to have a church where we can learn and serve the Lord. They needed us well, and so they held the ropes for us. They supported us financially, and they prayed for us so that we could be boots on the ground on the mission field, that we could preach the Word of God. So young ladies just like that one were able to get saved and come to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As their Savior. Oh, the lost have the same needs today that you and I had before we came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I want to read something to you real quick. I came across this back in May. This article is called Tears of Joy After Defibrillator Saves Climber. It says, a Surrey man who installed a defibrillator which saved the life of an Everest climber has said it made the mountain climb the most amazing thing I've ever done. David Sullivan from Oxted runs the Creating Lifesavers organization, which raises awareness of CPR and aims to install more defibrillators across England. These efforts most recently led the 62-year-old to the Himalayas, where he installed a defibrillator at an altitude of 20,000 feet. After returning 2 weeks ago, David said there were tears of joy when he learned that the device had saved the life of a French climber whose heart had stopped. He said, at 4 a.m., my phone pinged. I thought it was one of my children, but it came from a Sherpa 20,000 feet up Mount Everest. Yes, there are tears of joy. Our defibrillator was activated to save a young French lady's life. Pemba, the Sherpa who contacted David, said a young man from the Netherlands saw the defibrillator and used it with the help of an Austrian climber. The swift response paid off, with climber Cecile now recovering well in a Kathmandu hospital. David believes this incident demonstrates that more defibrillators are needed across the world. Are you following me tonight? He said this: this makes every step going up Everest the most amazing thing I've ever done. To know we saved this young lady's life is a crazy feeling.
Wow.
Every dollar that you put in the offering plate that goes towards missions,
yep,
is being used to place not defibrillators, but Bibles and missionaries,
yep,
around the world.
Right.
With the purpose of telling people about the Savior,
yeah,
who can save them from their sins, and not just give them life here on this earth, but to give them eternal life.
Yeah.
Giving to missions still works. It's the best investment you can ever make.
Yes, sir.
Because people are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and trusting Christ as their Savior. Back in Matthew chapter 6, said that your heavenly Father knows what you need,
yeah,
before you ask.
Right.
He knows what the lost need,
right,
and He's explained it to us very clearly in His Word. They need specifically the things that were mentioned tonight. And by giving to missions, you have a part in the lost hearing the gospel and being saved around the world. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight?